read a little scripture to go along with the preaching. It's like I was telling Brother John Jameson yesterday, John's greatly disturbed because his little daughter has been turned out of school. And John told me, which I believe John to be that kind of person, I never would have put him in that position. But he told me, said, "Now, Brother Pike, I'm disturbed about my daughter, but," said, "I'm certainly not going to use any of my authorities to favor my daughter, my family, that is. I'm just not going to do it." And that I respect, because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way a preacher's supposed to be. That's the way leaders are supposed to be. But I told John, I said, "I think you could put them back in school." And one of them says, I don't know just how I got this. It might be all mixed up, but it come through the grapevine. One says that they'll go to school if the other don't go to school. The other says, "I'll go to school if the other one don't go to school." That's in place for us to talk about this year, because our school is a God's school where we're educating people according to godliness. But now I think both of the girls, or whichever girl, has taken that attitude. I think that they're in error and that that's wrong, that that's Satan doing that, and that they need to shake that thing loose. Now, in coming to school, you say, "Well, that girl gave me a lot of trouble." Ain't nobody can give you no trouble except you. There ain't nobody can cause you no trouble except you. Now you say, "Well, Brother Pike, you just got through saying people that troubled you, God will trouble them." That's spiritually speaking, that's troubling God. As far as me as an individual, if I wasn't concerned about the things of God, it wouldn't trouble me. I just put on my coat or my shirt, whatever, get in the car and drive off, and that'd be it. But for Christ's sake, you trouble me. Now, so nobody can't cause you no problem but you. You're the one that causes you problems. So if it's two girls in school, then the one that don't want to go to school or the one that don't want to do right, that's the one that's causing the trouble. If both of them's like that, both of them's causing the trouble. And I told John, I said, "I believe, John, if they were put back in school, that you could handle your girl since you over the school. And I'm sure that Jimmy could handle his daughter in school because it's between those two. And I feel like that they could handle it in school." But at any rate, I feel like that we are grown up men and that we can handle our children. And if we can't handle our children, we need to get born again. We need to get born again, and if we're so touchy that every time somebody does something or says something about our children, we still need to get born again. So we are here as brothers to work this thing out as a brotherhood and a motherhood, to work together to see that these things don't happen. I was getting on to my grandchildren the other day. Some of them running around with a shirt open down here, and some of your boys is doing the same thing, and I noticed some of your little girls are running around. They look like they got on a negligee because you're not dressing them properly. When I ask you to dress them properly, all of that is a reproach to the things of God and to the house of God. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. That's great plainness of speech, ain't it? That way you know just exactly what I'm saying. And he said, "Well, I think it's a disgrace for you to say that about my daughter. I think it's more disgraceful for you to let your daughter dress like that." Anybody that let their daughter dress like that couldn't have no concern for their daughter as to whether disgrace or what. So you need to do something about it, and need to work with us a little bit more. We have rules and regulations on the campground. You say, "Well, I don't live on the campground," but you come on the campground. See, when you come on the campground, it's like Jimmy Arthur came the other day on the campground with a sweatshirt on and that strip across the top here. And I told him, I said, "Jimmy, you know better than to do that." And somebody said he's been working on cars on the campground over there. He knows better than that. That has to be stopped. Those things have to be stopped. Now, you say, "But do you just have to come out and say it?" That's the only way I know to get it stopped. If there's a sister sitting out here and she won't get in the right spirit, I have to tell her. And there is one sitting out there in the front of me right now that hasn't been in the right spirit since she come here. Now, that's the only way to do it. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. And when I open and rebuke you, the Bible said, "Brother Pike, you openly rebuke them that others might see and fear that they might not do these things." So then the girls that's warring with each other needs to get straightened out because it's a devil. And Jimmy needs to stop coming on the campground like that because it is a devil. And the others that are doing those things, it is devils. Your boys that are cussing and going on, it is devils that is causing this. So then I want you to stop it. Brother Cantrell's boy was cursing yesterday on the campground. And so I've had a lot of trouble out of little James Brown out there. Caused me a lot of trouble, whereas James come yesterday and said, I'm not in it. I've gotten out of it. Freddie was down there and he's about to have a fight down there at the men's meeting the other night. And those things have to be stopped. How do you know those things have to be stopped? Now you say, well, I'll just leave. Well, if you leave, that's just too bad. You're just gone. But these things are going to be stopped. I hate to have to call them by name, but that's the way I'm going to do it. When John over there said some things, he said, and these, and he called them by names, he said, and this must be stopped. Now, so then we're going to have to stop it. It's like Brother James Ellis. I understand that he hasn't put up a light pole since he's been here, 5 years over there, and still pulling lights off of somebody. That has to be stopped. It must be stopped. I've been about 5 years or something being patient, but it needs to be stopped. I told the brethren yesterday. These things must be stopped. Your sons and daughters coming on the campground, it's wrong. You say, well, it's my business. It's your business, but it's the gospel. It's the gospel for me to preach against it. Like I said the other day, I'm not in agreement with them going off leaving their children, going vacation. I'm not in agreement with it. I believe it's a violation of the gospel. I know my daughter's guilty of it, just like Brother Wayne and the others here. But it's still wrong as far as I'm concerned. It's wrong. We need to do something about it. We need to get together. And you say, well, that's my business. That's your business. But I understand Sister Sally said the other day that God didn't care anything about her children. But I prayed and begged God to try to help her children. I tried to do that. But I had problems because I couldn't get them to work with me right. I've had the same thing with others here. I said, Brother Pike, you keep on saying that and I'll say my piece. The floor is open to you. You know how I feel. I'm not a hypocrite. Nothing to say to you back. I want you to know how I feel about it. That's the way I feel. There's numbers of others in the same condition here that if you keep on, we're going to say something about it. I had to call some ladies up here one day, right here in front of the sacred desk, and let you see who they were before I could get them to stop. And we finally got them to stop. So then I want you to do right. If I have to call names, then that's the way it's going to be. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to love you. You don't love me anyway. Anybody let things go on like that won't correct them. You don't love me anyway. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. All right, now, you'll do whatever you want to do. That's your business. But you that's running around gossiping from place to place and house to house, I'm going to call your names out before it's over. You watch and see. From this very sacred desk, I'm going to name you because you're going from place to place and gossiping and causing me problems, and I'm going to name you. Now you need to stop it. You need to stop bearing false witness, cause strife, and whatever. Some of you owe Brother Walker some money. You need to pay the money. Now Brother Walker ain't said nothing to you, but he said something to somebody else about it. He wants his money. He said he needs his money. He can't understand why you would take money from a poor man. So you need to pay him. All right, if you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. If you feel I'm wrong, then pray me through or pray for me. I feel real good about the whole situation. Real good about it. I don't feel a bit of condemnation. Don't feel I've done wrong. I feel good about it. I feel God's pleased with it. Now then, some of you run over here and say, did you know that I heard Brother Pike say such and such and such? You heard Brother Pike say it. Now you don't have to run to nobody and say, I heard Brother Pike say it. You heard Brother Pike say it right here with your own ears. Now, so there's no hypocrisy about it. You know how I feel. Now I have asked you, I've prayed, I've pleaded with you, and I've done everything I know to do to get you to stop it, and I can't get you to stop it, and there's only one way to do, and that's to deal with it. You say, well, I'll just leave, and then I won't go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven anyway. Anybody doing wrong ain't going to go to heaven anyway. So they ain't. You say, well, you'll lose some of us. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them. Everyone that you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last day. I've not lost to one of them. So there isn't any that's lost. All right. I said, well, why did you say them things, Brother Pike? Because I want you to know that I'm no respected person. The way I feel about one, I feel about another. The way I feel about another, I feel about you. I feel the same way about every one of you. It's like I told David Paul yesterday. I said, David Paul, we're not going to have this down here with the women and men mixing up down there. I said, we set a rule. And we're going to have that rule. And I told the brethren, I said, David Paul has to obey the rules just like everybody else. Somebody said, well, you just let David do anyway. You are a liar. I don't let David do anyway. David Paul has to obey the rules just like you obey the rules. And if David Paul don't obey the rules, he has to get out just like everybody else. And those that are on the campground that are doing those things, it's like I understand that Gerald Whitlow's drinking. I don't know whether he is or not. I don't know. He may be, he may not. Somebody asked me yesterday about it. They said, well, you really got a problem. I said, no, I ain't got no problem because Gerald will have to move if he's drinking. If somebody is drinking on the campground and doing those things, they'll have to move off of it. Now, being merciful to people's mistakes, being merciful to people who stumble and stagger is one thing, folks. But putting up with drunks and putting up with things that are going on like that, Brother Pike don't intend to do that. Now, I'm a fool for Christ, but not a fool for the world. See, if a drunk man comes in my house, my own son, I don't put up with George Jr. and the others doing that foolishness. And I know I ain't going to put up with the others. It's like George Jr. come down there ramping up and down the campground one day with his motor, motorcycle. He parked it in front of my house down there. And I said, Rick, I said, what in the world are you doing? You know you ain't supposed to do that. Well, you can't do nothing about it. I said, well, we'll see about it. And I walked out there and grabbed me a handful of cycle wires, and he never did get it cranked no more. From that day on, as far as I know, he never got it cranked no more. I said, well, it looks like we can do something about it, Rick. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you're kind of drastic about things. I don't think so, folks. I really don't believe I am. I feel like that right is right. And when we say something, it should be straight. It should be clean. It should be upright. That's like when Frank had the fight. I told Frank and I told the others up there. I said, I don't believe in fighting and manhandling. I said, it's wrong. I said, I appreciate the manhood for my daughter's sake. Or for righteousness' sake, but I don't go along with violence. And I don't. That's the way I feel about it. When your little boys get to fighting and going on, I don't feel that that's right. When little brother Hollis and him went down to Toby's down there, going to fight, that was wrong. And I told brother Hollis and him, that's wrong. That's wrong to do that. And I made a statement also when Toby stopped the boy out here in the middle of the road out here. And had it out with him that I didn't think that was right at all in the sense that he didn't stop his boy going up and down. And his boy was really going. So later on, I told Gary. I called Garrett. I said, Gary, you're running up and down the road speeding and going on when I ask you not to do it. I said, now you're in trouble with the law. So then right is right. We need to do what's right. All right. If you want to change your membership after church, you can. The only membership we have is those that are recorded in heaven, and all you got to do is tell Jesus. St. John, the 7th chapter, first verse. I'm satisfied some of you won't want to hear me preach this morning because I done preached too much maybe already as far as you're concerned. But that's the way I feel. Susie went off to town last night, and I told her I didn't appreciate it at all. I didn't appreciate them letting them have the car to go off. That was wrong. Because we got a curfew here on the grounds. Ain't even supposed to be out after that time. All right, the 7th chapter, the 1st verse. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in jewelry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. And if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others say, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Shall he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentile? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this, said of a truth, This is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. All right, now, that's reading the whole chapter there. It says here in the 7th chapter, in the 4th verse, For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe on him. All right, I want to talk with you just a few minutes this morning concerning those things. You know, it is hard a lot of times to know that your brethren don't believe what you're telling them. They don't believe on you. But yet it is a true fact that Paul in his day, not only Jesus here where the terms is used, that the brethren did not believe him or on him, but Paul the apostle also used the same terms, that I was in peril of false brethren. In peril of false brethren. You know, a brother that is not a false brother will love you at all times if he is your friend. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times. And a person that is a real true friend, they love you at all times. They love you when you are down. They love you when you are up. They love you when you do right. They love you when you do wrong. Now, they might not agree with your ways. And they might not love your ways, but they still love you because they love you just because you're you. They love you. You understand what I'm saying? He loves you. If he is your friend, he loves you anytime, under any circumstances, anywhere, because you're just you. He loves you because you're dear to him. A friend loveth at all times. To love God is to be God's friend. God called Abraham his friend. To love God is to be his friend, and to be the friend of God, there is only one way that you can be the friend of God. And the Bible tells us that is that we must obey God's commandments. See, not only do you not love me when you disobey these things that I tell you, but it is positive proof that you do not love God. You do not love the Lord. See, if you do not keep the commandments of the Lord, how can you love the Lord? Jesus said, "How say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" How is it that that can be, that you say, "Lord, Lord," but you do not the things I tell you to do? Can any man say, "Lord," and not be subject to that which he is tutored in? See, a lord is one that ruleth over. A lord is one that has power of constraint over an individual that is submitted to them to be under obedience. That is what makes the man his lord, is because he has submitted unto him. Whereas the Bible teaches that we are to submit ourselves one to another. You say, "But Brother Pike, you couldn't do that. We are supposed to submit to the Lord." But Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me." You submit to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh because that is your Lord. You're not knowing that man after the flesh. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I am not going to bow down to any man." But you are not bowing down to a man. You are submitting yourself unto your Lord. Because you are not doing that unto an individual as unto man. But the Bible said, "Do all things as unto the Lord." Therefore, you're not doing it because he is an individual. You're doing it because the Word of God, which is your Lord, said do that. That's just like a woman. You take a woman. A woman should submit herself. By all means, she should submit herself. Isn't that right? Why should she submit herself? Because the man is her Lord. Isn't that right? The man is her Lord. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said that Sarah called Abraham Lord. She did that because he was her Lord. He was the power of rule that was over her, because it was said, "Let the woman be subject to the man, and let the man rule over her." So then, in this world, it makes the man her Lord. And when the Bible speaks of being saved, that woman is but members that belong to a head somewhere. And that head is her husband. So then her salvation cannot come any other way except through her husband. Now, you might be married and you might say, "Well, bless God, I'll get salvation anyway." You can't get it. A woman cannot have salvation except it come through her husband. Now, if she is not married, then she is subject to her dad. And if she is not under the leadership of her dad, she's out on her own, and that makes a difference. But when you are married, you are subject to God through your Lord. And who is your Lord? Your husband. So then, God being the head of Christ, Christ is subject to his Lord. And the Lord Jesus being my head, man is subject to his Lord. And man being the head of woman, woman is subject to her Lord. Therefore, salvation, before I can get it, I must have it from God through my Lord. I must be subject to my head. If I reject my head, I cannot have salvation. Because salvation is never given to the woman, it's always given to the man. The man is the heir. God created the man. God put the man in the garden. God made the man. And the woman is only heir because she is a part of the man. And if she cuts herself off from being a part of the man, she cannot be an heir unto salvation. So then the promise is not unto those of many, but as unto one, even Christ himself. That is, God said, Abraham, through thy seed Isaac shall all nations be blessed. And then if I am to be blessed, I must be subject to my head to have salvation. If I cut off myself from my head, I have no salvation. Sometimes a man will be strong with his wife. He tells her just like it really is. He has to tell her that way. Why does he have to tell her that way? Because God has told him that way. But now listen, if a man is not a Christian, he is in the sight of God as a brute beast. He cannot be a head over his family, only in the sense of a brute beast. He is still the head, in that both of them are beasts. But if that woman becomes a Christian and that husband will not serve God, then she is subject to her husband only as long as he stays within the boundaries of the Word of God. Otherwise, Christ is her head. Because I say again, you are not subject to your husband because of your husband, but rather because of the Word. All right, let's look at it for just a minute now. We're talking about the church in Christ now. And I like this, the church in Christ. See, my wife is my membership, but I am her head. Christ is the head of the church. If my wife honors me, reverences me, obeys me, she is not doing it because I am an individual. Now somebody would say, well, I do that because I love my husband. No, you won't do it. There ain't a woman living that'll do that because she loves her husband. Now when a woman marries a man, as the old saying goes, she feels like she could eat him up in a little while, she wish she had him. Now, but the thing is, you cannot be subject because you love your husband. That won't last. That'll run out sometime. If he crosses your grain just enough, that's going to run out. But you are subject because the Word of God, which is your Lord, said, honor thy husband, reverence thy husband, obey thy husband in all things. You are serving not your husband, but you are serving your Lord, which is the Word of God. And your Lord has said to you, that to honor, to reverence, to obey your husband is the way that pleases your Lord, the Word. In the beginning was God, the Word. The Word came forth, put on flesh. It is your Lord. And you know, when we come down to the place to where we realize that each other should be honored and reverenced and respect, then we're getting somewhere with God. If I can honor you, if I can respect you, then I'm getting somewhere with God. If I can submit myself to you, I've got salvation. That is, if you're a Christian. But brothers and sisters, if I cannot submit myself to you as a Christian, I do not have salvation. How much more should the church submit to the ministry? Whereas the Bible said, submit yourself unto the ministry, seeing that these are they that watch for your soul, and they're set there for the perfecting of your faith. Not only that, but be afraid for conscience' sake, because they bear not the sword in vain. They're God's ministers, giving themselves continually unto this very thing, render unto all their needs, while they that wait at the altars are partakers of the altar. Whereas Paul of the old said, I've not used these things to my benefit. I haven't either. I've trusted God to take care of me. I do it so that my glory won't be in vain. But remember this one thing, that you are to be subject to the ministry because they are put there. The Bible said to execute judgment upon them that do evil. What is evil? The thing that I've been talking about this morning is evil. And the minister is there. He beareth not the sword in vain. And the first thing he must do is sound the trumpet and sound the alarm in Zion and let you know that these things are around and let you know that these things are coming upon you. Then if you don't do anything about it, he's delivered his hands. They're not bloody anymore. He's delivered his soul. Now then, let's just look at it for just a minute. If we are a minister, if we are sounding the trumpet, if we are warning you because we see the wolf coming, while we see the slayer coming, then you ought to heed. Somebody you know, they'll tell you something in secret. Don't tell it. But maybe that thing needs to be told so as to warn the sheep. They'll come to you and they'll tell you something. And they'll say, but don't you dare breathe this. I listen at them when they tell me that because I'm not going to bind myself under an oath with them. Because I may tell it before they get out of the room. That's right. So they don't need them telling me if they don't expect me to tell it. If it's something that shouldn't be told, I won't tell it. The Bible said a wise man concealeth the matter. If it's something just going to cause trouble or cause problems, then that's different. I won't tell it. But I tell you one thing. If you come and tell me, say now, there's a rattlesnake laying in there around your little children, but don't you dare tell them little children. Why, you know better than that. I tell them as quick as I can get in there and kill the snake too if I can. So then when you tell me things concerning things that you won't kept secret, you should stop and think those things over because so many people come and tell me things like that and think as to whether or not I'm doing something wrong. I'm shielding something wrong. I'm housing something that's not right. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if you don't tell it, everybody will say, oh, Brother Pike, he can keep a secret. Yeah, and old Brother Pike might go to hell with the same one that told him the secret. Now, and when we come around each other and we start telling secrets, you know, I know that ugly thing that so-and-so done over yonder. Why, you just out in the slop hole, that's all that's wrong with you. You just got down with the pigs, that's all. You don't need any secrets like that. The Bible says in the first place that you're not to even make mention of those things or bring them into your mind. Those things that are done in secret of them people that do things in secret. Don't even let it be named among you one time as becometh saints. You should never name it. Like I told some boys the other day, they started about the little girls. I said, I don't want to hear it. You need to keep the girls out of your dirty mouth. That's right. My grandma used to wash our mouth out. God will wash your mouth out if you'll give him a chance. Keep those girls out of your dirty mouth because it's filthy. You're not supposed to name those things to begin with. And some of you ladies, you just got to get together, you know, in a huddle, and all you can talk about is something that you got no business talking about. I know because it gets down to my house. Some of you men never watch after your daughters. You never watch after your wives. Them daughters, devils all around them. You don't know where they're going because you don't know what your wife's doing. I see some of you so jealous of your wife, you can't hardly even let her hold her head up in church to look at the preacher. And yet you yourself will go off and leave her to do anything, go anywhere. You strain at a net and swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind, the Bible said, they all fall into the ditch. If I was going to be jealous of my wife, which I am, I'm jealous of my spiritual family, natural family, and my wife too. But I believe that we ought to have some concern. If we're concerned enough to be jealous, we ought to have a jealousy that is a preserving jealousy. Whereas the Bible said to present her to yourself without spot. And you ought to have a preserving jealousy toward your children. To watch over your children. Not an old Cain-like jealousy that always wants to pounce on somebody and beat somebody down and tear somebody up. Keep them tore all to pieces all the time. There's a godly jealousy. Whereas God said, I am a jealous God. And Paul said, I am jealous over you. I don't want you to have any spots or any blemishes. And it said to be that way about your wife. That's what the Bible said. Now, but when we have an old evil jealousy that we're jealous if our brother gets something else better than we do, or he's got a little more, somebody notices him a little more, or it's that old Cain jealousy, that old evil jealousy that kills, destroys, come in and beat on the wife and peck on the wife and find fault with the wife. When a lot of times the individual's doing has been out around the dirty, filthy holes all out in the area everywhere. And that's why they do it. There isn't anything in the world so precious as a virtuous woman. The Bible said her price is far beyond that of rubies. God treasures her because she is a great treasure to God. And the Bible said she is a crown to her husband's head. But one that maketh the shame is like rottenness in his bones. One that is true, he can trust her. And the same way about a man that's virtuous, pure, holy. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in him, think on these. Somebody that's got the virtue of the Lord in them. To them, they are the virgins. God calls them the virgins without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. They don't have to go out here to the worldly attire of the world. They don't have to put on things that are filthy and ungodly and undecent. They don't have to run to the frolics of the world because they have an intimate relationship with God that's holy, sacred, and pure, and they esteem that to be the greatest thing that ever happened to their lives. So then there's foolish virgins, which are church people. And those people are always going to the frolics. They can't stay away from the worldly amusements. It's Six Flags today and it's the out on the beach tomorrow and it's got to go over here to some other place the next day. You know, I praise God for one thing. Though I've been privileged to travel around the world, almost, and I believe maybe this year, maybe I'll finish it up, going all the way around the world. But I have never, as of yet, had the desire to take my little wife and my children to the evil frolics, like the places that they've got up here at Six Flags and other things in Texas and different places. I've never had a desire to do that. I don't want to do that because I am jealous over them with a godly jealousy. I have to tolerate a lot of things. When I catch an airplane to go into the foreign countries, into Europe somewhere, it tears my heart out because they don't have any system. They don't have any decency. And a lot of times I say things to the ticket agents, or I say things to the authorities, or I say things to the different people, and I sound a little arrogant sometimes when I say it because of the way they do and the way they act. But you know, we could have decency. They could have decency on planes. They could have decency on ships. They can have decency in the stores and along the highways. They can have decency in church. I've heard people say, well, you cannot mix the black people and the white people in the church. It won't work. That's a lie. We have the best kind of time out here with the white folks and the black folks, the Spanish folks. Have had some Chinese to help us in this work. You understand what I'm saying? Where you've got God, you don't have any problems. But only in the eras where God isn't invited or God isn't cared for or God isn't allowed to come in. That is the eras of trouble where the shadows lay in the corner. You get a good light over there and you'll knock that shadow out and you won't have any problem. The problem is not in the black man no more than the white man. It's not in the husband no more than the wife. The problem is the devil. And if the white man gives place to it, he's of the devil. If the black man gives place to it, he's of the devil. If the yellow man gives place to it, he's of the devil. And if the whatever it might be, the red man gives place to it, he's of the devil. Satan is the devil wherever he's at. When Jesus looked at Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, devil. Get thee behind me, Satan." He numbered Peter with the thing that Peter was willing to live with. If you're willing to go out here and live in the hog pens and wallow in the slop of this world, then get thee behind me, swine. Jesus said, for the swine go back to their wallowing in the mire. If you're willing to get out here and lap the dog's vomit, then get thee behind me, dog. Well, that's what you are. For the dog goes back to his licking the vomit. He'll vomit it up and then go back and begin to lap it. Only a dog will do that. You can't misconstrue and call a son of God a dog. You can't misconstrue and call a son of God a swine. A son of God is a son of God. But they that lick their vomit and they that wallow in the mire are dogs and swine. And they that take place with the devil Jesus said you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. And when you go out there, Satan, save us, the things that be of this world, the frolics that be of the flesh, and you go out there and you partake of those filthy, evil things on TV and on the radio and out there in Disney World and all the other places, then you are eating at the table of devils. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, devil. Whatever your appetite is, whatever your desire is, that's what you are. We hunger and we thirst after the things of God. I'm hungry this morning. I'm thirsty this morning. What am I hungering after? The things of God. What am I thirsting after? The things of God. If I all the time have to be contrary, all the time, to my fellow man, cause division, cause deceit, then I would be a devil. But if I make peace and I tell you what God wants you to do to have peace, in that the Bible said all the paths of God are peace. If I tell you that, then the Bible said, blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. If I make peace and I sow peace and I try to put you together in a unit to follow the paths of peace, I am a peacemaker. You know what makes peace? That which is manifest. Why? Because the Bible said that which is manifest makes light. See, if the light be made manifest, then can you have peace? But when you start having problems, you got a problem over here. You got a problem with your children. You got a problem with your wife. You got a problem with your job, with your finance, with your employer. There's something wrong with you. Not with them, but with you. You say, but Brother Pike, you could be working on a job and the boss could be the one that's causing the trouble. But that's not where the problem is. The problem is you. Somebody said, well, I don't see how that could be. Because the Bible teaches that you're in violation of the Word. Not the boss, but you. The boss may be a sinner. He may not know any better. But you say, how can I be to blame? Because the Bible said, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly. If it's a brother, you ain't got no business being there to start with. If it's a man that's evil, if it's a man that's a sinner, the Bible said, if you perceive there's no understanding of man, go from him. So you're still in violation of the Word. You're not supposed to be there. The Bible said, shun the very appearance of evil. Shun the appearance of evil. Get away from evil. One writer said, I will set no wicked or evil thing before my eyes. When you sit down and put a television show or a movie or some billboard or a newspaper or a magazine or whatever it is, and you set it before your eyes, then you've taken an evil thing and you have violated the Word of God. And if you love evil, the Bible teaches it'll never depart from your house. And just so long as we program the minds of our children with all of the worldly attire and the worldly affairs, that's just how long we're going to have a little bunch of devils running around. Now, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you're getting beside yourself. You can't call a child a devil. The Bible said the spirit of the devil is bound in the heart of a child, the spirit of foolishness. But a rod of correction will drive it far from him. Somebody said, well, I beat mine. That's not what it's talking about. This is the rod of correction right here. It takes beating them according to this. The Bible does say beat them, but it just comes out and tells you to beat them. Beat them and you not kill them. You'll save your soul from hell. But the rod of correction that God is speaking of, this is the kind of rod that you need right here. If you're going to beat one, you need to beat him in accordance with the Word of God, with love and mercy and understanding, and not out of your temper just because you got upset. I ain't saying, now, Brother Pike, we wouldn't do any such thing as that. You do do it. You do do it. I struck a snag, then I run across a woman's spirit. She was doing real well. Till I said something about that, this being the rod of correction, and she's so intelligent, she thought that she knowed better. Must be God, he would know what you're thinking. You're doing fine as you run across that. What it is, this is the rod of correction. There is no other rod of correction. You say, but the stick is the rod of correction. If that's so, why doesn't it correct those that's beating out you in the world? It doesn't keep them straight. It doesn't keep them straight. You can beat, you can knock, you can do whatever you want to. That isn't going to correct anybody. As a matter of fact, all you do is make them bitter. But I'll tell you what, if you'll take the rod of correction, which is God's Word, you'll drive the spirit away from them. And then the Bible said, by His Spirit, His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. And you can do that with a stick. Did you know that? Somebody would say, well, I don't believe you could use the Word that way. Moses did. He took a stick and he corrected Egypt. He went down there and he used it right. You can take that stick and you can use it right. You can take that rod, you can use it right. But if you just have a temper, get upset, that isn't going to help the situation. But just as long as you feel that your children are the special children and that they couldn't do wrong, that's just how long we're going to have a devil around. Because the devil is going to feel him and feel you too. And if you agree with him, after a while, you're going to be the same thing that he is. I've got some people sitting here right now that's in the same condition their children are in. As a matter of fact, they're in worse condition. And the reason is because they wouldn't listen at me or won't listen at me. And they've agreed with the children, and today they're in the same light in God's eye as their children. Now they say, oh, you better do better. There ain't no need of telling that child to do better. He knows what you've done. He knows which way you went. He knows you made allowance for him and his filth. And that same devil that lived in him that you made allowance for got into you when you made allowance for it. And today you're in a mess because of it. You wouldn't listen to Brother Pike. Some of you still won't. But the Bible said you warned the fool. He won't listen. He'll just keep going on till the dart strikes through his liver. But after a while, the dart will strike through his liver. But if you want a wise man, he'll listen to you. Tell a man the right thing. If he's a wise man, he'll love you. If you rebuke him, he'll love you. Because he's a wise man. But if he's not a wise man, his little mind goes to work like a computer. He starts judging and deciding, well, I don't know about that. And he starts judging you and decides what he thinks about it. But I want to tell you something, folks. This is God's way, and you're going to have to go this way, and I'm going to have to go this way. And like John preached the other night, it's going to be holiness or it's going to be hell. And holiness don't make allowance for Six Flags and the filthy places of this world. And it don't make allowance for the devils and the demons and the way that you're programming your children's mind with the filth and with the worldly things that they're coming in contact with. Holiness don't make allowance for that. There is but one way. That's God's way. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, I think you do pretty good. I'm not against it. I think you do pretty good. But I think you go to the extremes a little bit when you say something about the long sleeves and the long dresses. I think you're in extremes a little bit when the little boy can't run around with his shirt off and the little girl can't run around like she wants to. Well, there's one thing about it. If they can do it while they're young, why worry about it when they get old? There's no more wrong with them doing it while they're old or when they get up into years than it is while they're young. Oh, you say there's a great deal of difference. They do such and such rottenness among little teenagers, rottenness among them that ain't even got to their teens. Rottenness is among them in school and everywhere else. Why do you have to wait till they get old? They're just as rotten as they can be. Because you didn't teach them right. You let your little girl stay around the little boys. You don't know where she's at, what she's doing. You don't correct her. Same way with the little boys. They can get around anybody, go anywhere. You don't know where they're at. But I'll tell you one thing. Years ago, grandmama knowed where they was. I tell you what, it's like the song says, it was taught to the tune of a hickory stick. I guarantee you, I've seen my mother and grandmothers and others in days gone by sit in the swing, and they wasn't Christians. But they might sit there with an old toothbrush that they'd broke a limb off where they got the hickory, and the end of it they used for a toothbrush, and the rest they used for another purpose. And they sat there, and they knowed where you was, and they knowed what you was doing. And occasionally when we'd slip off somewhere, it wasn't long before granddaddy or daddy or somebody come through the bushes and we really got it. I tell you, we got it. They tore my hide up. And I didn't stick out my tongue either. I didn't say nothing. If I did, if I'd done it on the run when I could get behind another bush to where he couldn't see me. That was the way they did it, because in that day we had a real church. It represented the mother and her children. There was correction from the preacher. He might not have on a $300 suit and he might have a hole in his shoes, because the people wouldn't support him because he preached straight. But he had a good church. He had people love God. He might not could drive the finest of cars, but at least he had good folks on their way to heaven. Might not have loved him until he was dead and gone, but many of them thought about him after he was passed on. Heard of men like Brother Buckaloo that eat berries, pick berries to survive holes in their shoes. You've heard me tell it. Young preacher preaching with him, they had a revival, and he said, "I can't go." The brother said, "Why come you can't go?" He said, "Well, look," said, "my toe's sticking out of my shoe." And he reached and got the shoe polish and polished the toe. Said, "We're going to church." Made it all look alike. That was because they loved God. People at Little Bethlehem should love God. We should love God. Whether we get any money or whether we don't get any money, we should love God. Somebody said, "Well, God ain't with me. I don't have a new car like somebody else." He might not be with somebody that's got the new car as much as you think he is. It could be the land of Esau, and Esau might have the new car. And God may have something better for you in the land of Canaan. So you don't really know. The thing for you to do is not figure it out. You say, "Well, prosperity goes with serving God." I know that. "The Lord maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. His blessings makes you rich." You can't serve God without getting blessed. Like my brother Junior said yesterday. Said, "Sometimes, brother," he said, "you know, I see people at the church and others that don't have the things that they need." And said, I say, "My God, Lord, they ought to have this car and they ought to have these things and I ought to be walking." He said, "But I know that prosperity goes with the blessings of God. You can't serve God without prosperity. You don't know what's in the heart of another person. You can't say." I say here this morning, I don't know what's in the heart of Brother Cantrell. I don't know what's in the heart of Brother Junior, Brother Walker, Brother Taylor, unless God reveals it to me. I can't tell you what it is. Because you don't know. I don't know. The Lord has to tell me. But there's one thing about it. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord is throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, seeking the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in their behalf. If you've got a problem and you want God's favor this morning, then God will show himself strong in your behalf. Maybe it is that you need a good car. Maybe it is that you need a better job. Maybe it is that you need peace in the family. Whatever it might be, maybe you've got a ministry and you need God to put you in your ministry. But if you'll show yourself upright in heart, he'll show himself strong in your behalf. But folks, you can't think one thing in the presence of Brother Pike and say one thing in the presence of Brother Pike and go out here and say another thing. A lot of times I say things. I've thought about it many times. I say things. My wife sometimes, she'll say, "Do you know what you said?" I said, "Yeah, I know what I said. I said it to him too the other day. I said it to her." Here's the thing. We don't go around trying to hurt people's feelings. We don't go around trying to find things to tear down. But there is a time for all things. All things. And there's a time when we must do something. And when it gets severe, to where after warning and word after word and thing after thing comes from God, and nothing's done about it, then we have to take different means and measures to snap you to attention, to let you know. I say, "Well, I'll just poke you in the nose." Well, if I can get up, I'll still tell you the same thing. Well, you get up, you might poke me back in the nose. I might do it. I don't believe I would. I believe I got enough of God to keep from doing it. I might, I don't know. But I don't think I would. I hope to God I wouldn't. But there's one thing about it, just as sure as I get off of that ground, I'll still tell you the same thing. I love you, and I want to help you. And I want to do everything I can to stand by you. I want to lead you like a good shepherd. I don't want to flee when the wolf comes. The hireling fleeth when he sees the wolf coming. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You hate me because I tell you the truth, Paul said. For neither did his brethren believe him. They didn't believe on him. They knew what he was saying was truth, but they didn't believe on him. And neither do my brethren. But there's one thing about it. God stands with his word. And I stand with God's word. I came into the world to bear witness of the truth. For this cause, Jesus said, came I into the world. I bear witness of the truth this morning. We're going to have to clean up our lives. We're going to have to be holy. Women are going to have to submit to their husbands. Now, I'd like to get off into a little revelation this morning. But women are going to have to submit to their husbands. And the husbands are going to have to love the woman like Christ loved the church. And you that don't feel our rules and regulations is worth considering, you're going to have to consider those rules and regulations. You say, well, I'm not on the campground. You're still a part of it. If you are a part of it, you need to abide by it. If not, get away from it. If you're not going to be a part of it, get away from it. Like somebody was telling me yesterday. He said, well, some of the ladies that live uptown, they don't wear the long dresses. Well, it's some of the very people I spoke about the other night when I told you they wasn't right with God. And you just discovered it. I told it here in service if you'd have been listening. And you just discovered it, that's all. You don't have to discover it. When you're in God, He'll reveal it to you. A lot of times God lets somebody discover it so that they'll know. But the preacher told the truth. So then, in this little exhortation this morning that could go on and on the way I feel. But in this morning, I want you to consider what I'm telling you. I want you to consider. Stop reproaching the name of the Lord. Stop reproaching the church. Because God give you warning after warning after warning so you'll stop, so you'll slow down. And if you don't do it, after a while, God's going to meet you head on. And then when God meets you head on, you can't look back and say, God didn't warn me. Every one of these little happenings is a warning to you. He keeps telling you. A little thing happens. He keeps telling you over and over. A little thing happens. And you can't say that God didn't warn you. God did warn you. The thing is, whether or not you've done anything about it, that's the thing. He warned you long before it ever happened. Now you say, what can I do, Brother Pike? One thing. Surrender your heart to God. Get right with God. Mean business with God. Get your children right. I know your children's going to give you problems. Mine give me problems. I know the wife ain't going to honor and obey in everything because mine don't do it. Yours ain't going to do it. And I ain't never met a woman that did do it. But there's one thing about it. Mine makes an effort to do it. She tries to do it. Sometimes the devil takes advantage and she gets a little careless. But she comes back and repents and tries to straighten it up. I do always the things that I see the Father do and the things that pleases the Father. But in doing them, I stumble and I stagger. And God has mercy on me so I can do them. That's where grace comes in. When my wife can't meet the measurements, then the same grace that told her to honor me tells me to love her as Christ loved the church. That is to give her grace in her shortcomings. To be kind to her and to understand her. And God does me that way with my shortcomings, my stumblings. He gives me grace and He helps me when I can't measure up. The chain is just as strong as the weakest link. And whoever there is among us that's weak, you cause us trouble. And I'm praying that God will help. I'm praying that God will help Willie and Ann with their children. The other day, I saw where God was going to do something for them. And the man come in while I was telling Willie and said, you're going to get your children back, Willie, while I was sitting there telling him that God would do something for him. But I understand that Willie's gone to drinking and smoking. Whether he has or not, I don't know. Well, I know he's smoking because I said something to him about it, he confessed it. And if he goes and does that, he'll be in a worse circumstance next time, and Brother Pike or nobody else won't be able to help him. And I told Willie this. I told Ann this. I talked to him. I tell my children when they do wrong, I say, God will help you out of it. I'll pray to God that he'll get you out of it. But you better do right. After a while, you'll get into trouble that daddy or nobody else can't get you out of. Joe prayed his family out of trouble many times, but there came a day when they wouldn't listen and they got into trouble that nobody couldn't get them out of. Even Job couldn't get them out of it. And God took their life. So I'm asking you this morning, you're my children, my spiritual children of the Lord. And I talk to you as such, not to scold you nor hurt you, because I love you. But Paul said, being jealous over you with a godly jealousy, I want to present you to God without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I talk straight to heart with Susie. Sometimes me and Susie, we have a talk. I get right down to brass tacks, as we say, or the nitty-gritty. I tell Susie how it's got to be. I say, now, Susie, hun, don't do this. And Susie, hun, don't do that. And most of the time, Susie will honor me. She might grumble a little bit, but she'll honor me. She's been one of the best daughters I ever had. She is pouty, but most of them do. And she'll do real good. But then there comes a time when a devil will get on Sue, and I say, Sue, now I told you I ain't going to have that. Now, Sue, Daddy loves you, but I'll just take you in a back room and tear your hide up with a belt if you don't straighten up. And of course, she understands that kind of talk. Most of them do. See, that's the way it has to be with my spiritual children. I love you. I say easy things to you, real kind things to you. I do to my companion till I come down to where it is a cross and then I have to put my foot down. See, that's the way God is. He's kind to me. He talks sweet to me. He don't upbraid me and speak harsh to me. But then when I get crossed up and I don't do the thing he tells me, the Lord says, now, George, it's going to be like this. I say, my God. I say, now, he ain't never, yes, he has. Oh, yes, he has. He's told me, and he said, and if it don't go like this, young man, when I get through with you, you'll wish it had went like that. That's the essence of the way he talked to me. And most of the time when he tells me, now, it better be like this, I said, oh, my God, I've done something wrong here, Lord. And I go to crying and praying and begging God. I said, Lord, what have I done? I've displeased you somehow or another. Forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. And I try to stay away from the lash because them that God loves, he chastises. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's like the, and I'll try to close here. But it's like the judge that came to the man when the man was drowning. It was just a young man that saved his life. When he screamed for help, he went into the water, he got him. He picked him up, he brought him out, and the man praised him because he was a savior to him. One day the boy had done wrong, committed murder, went before the judge. When it did, when he got there, he recognized the judge. The judge passed the sentence, the death sentence. But the young man said, I'm sure that you don't recognize me. I am the young man that you saved when I was drowning. He said, yes, sir, I recognize you. I know who you are. Said, but I was your savior then, but I'm your judge now. See, in one of these days, that same Jesus that you want to make, you know, you look at Brother Pike and you say, my Jesus would never talk like that. My Jesus wouldn't do that. But one of these days, that same Jesus is speaking to you through Brother Pike. You're going to see him there unveiled. And that same Jesus, you're going to hear him say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Depart into everlasting fire that was made for the devil and his angels. He's going to be a judge to you. He took the whip. He turned over the money tables. He called them hypocrites and liars, and so they were. He can be kind. He can be sweet. I love you. Paul said, shall I come to you with a rod? Or shall I come to you in the spirit of meekness? I love you. You're my children. But sometimes I have to just get straight about things. That's the only way to do it. There's some of them dead. Some of the people that are dead that came here where I had to go to their face, tell them face to face that there were troublemakers in a few days that were dead. Numbers of cases where they're dead, young men that are dead, numbers of them, where I had to go face to face and talk with them. But they're dead. Don't let it be that way with you. Don't let it be that way. Oh, he said, well, I'm not afraid. Well, you're in violation of the word because the Bible said be afraid for conscience sake so that you can believe, and because he is there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. I want you to stand with me. I love you. I care for you. But there's no special people with God. All of you look alike to me and all of you look alike to God. Just one rule, that's for all of us. Relatives, friends, neighbors, enemies, whatever. What I say unto one, Jesus said, I say unto all. He said the same thing to his brethren, which was his natural brothers, that he said to the people. And his natural brothers, James and John, and they had to do the same thing. His mother had to abide by the same rule. When we're here, the Bible said it's not you speaking, but your heavenly Father. I may go home and speak to my little children as a man, to my wife as a man, but when I speak to her as God, that's different. As it was said of Jesus when he lay down on the boat, he was tired and weary, sleepy. He was a man. He was a man. He had to have rest for his body. The man part was showing up. But when he stood and he said to the waves, be still, and commanded the winds to be peaceful, he was God. That was God speaking. I do nothing, he said, except that which the Heavenly Father shows me. It's not I, but the Father within me. So, remember, I love you. I love you very dearly, but I don't have any respect to person. I know that sometimes you get the idea that I think more of somebody else than I do you, or I think more of you than I do somebody else. But you're wrong, I don't. When it comes to God, I don't think no more of my wife than I do my children, or more of my children than I do my neighbors, or no more of my neighbors than I do my relatives, or no more of my relatives than I do you. That's a different situation. All of you belong to God, black, white, yellow, red. Sinner, saint, whatever, God made all of you. And I feel the same way toward all of you. And you say, how is that? According to this word toward you, that's the way I feel. Whatever category you fall into, according to his feelings, that's the feelings I have for you. I want to help you, and I do whatever I can to help you. Reverence my sanctuary. This is let every word be established. It's testimony to the same things. Let's all be of one mind and one accord. The Lord Jesus will bless us. Let's sing this little chorus together. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs of the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon to unfold. Oh, the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.